on the phone, is that correct?
That's correct.
So, presumption is, well, I'm gonna get started. So, exactly 6 p.m. This is the planning commission meeting and is now in session. Charles, he apparently is not gonna be here this evening, so I'm vice chair, so I'll be the acting chair for the evening. Our first order of business is always a public comment. Do we have any public who has signed up or wants to make comment? Let's see, we have some public, but no comments, okay. And since there is no one that necessarily wants to have make a comment, then we will close the public comment portion of the meeting. And we will next move to the director's reports.
So Lindsay and I would like to provide you with an update on upcoming meetings and also the long-range projects that we're working on in the department. On the 24th, there is the scheduled work session and public hearing on the floodplain code modernization project that you all will be discussing, hearing about from Rachel this evening. On April 7th, there's no scheduled meeting at the moment. We've reserved that in the event that the planning commission continues the public hearing on the floodplain code modernization project. And then on April 21st, we're looking at a tentative public hearing date and work session on modernization of Lane Code Chapter 15.
Which is our roads, governs the roads of the county.
And then, and Lindsay can speak more to this, but I believe we're looking at tentatively April 21st for a work session on urban reserves?
Yes. So I think we're going to try to have a work session on urban reserves the same night as the Chapter 15 code updates.
I was right. Are we coming back again in March?
Yes, March 24th.
24th. Okay, put down 28th on the calendar.
And that's a work session and public hearing in Harris Hall, and it begins at 6 o'clock?
7
o'clock.
Is the public hearing 6 o'clock? Yeah.
The work session is at 6, and then the public hearing is at 7. And then we wanted to let you know about some of the long-range projects that we're working on at the moment and planning to work on in the near future. In early February, Deanna and Jared presented the coastal map, floodplain map updates to you. That's tentatively scheduled to go to the board on April 21st for a public hearing. The community wildfire protection plan, Rachel is working on that project. That is scheduled for a board work session on April 7th. And as part of that, we're looking at mapping wildfire risk and policies that will go with that. We're looking at scoping amendments to Lane Code Chapter 16 to reflect legislative amendments that were made by the Senate and the House in the 2019 session. Lindsay's working to start scoping that, and we're anticipating that that will go or come before you tentatively in the summer. And we're looking at fire siting standards to update Lane Code Chapter 16 for roads and maybe you want to speak more to that.
Fuel reduction in high-risk areas, regardless of what zone it is. So we did a work session last fall on that, and getting pushed out a little bit further than we'd anticipated, but we're hoping for this fall to bring you actual code language to review and get recommendations for adoption. So Chapter 14 is in the middle of preparing briefs at LUBA, and so we don't have a final version, acknowledged version of Lane Code Chapter 14, which is holding up the readoption of the model code language in Chapter 16 for the resource zones, because it's so heavily dependent on the newer version of Chapter 14. And so it's kind of a trickle effect of waiting until we can have the modern version of our code adopted to then make amendments to it is our approach to the situation. So we're behind the scenes preparing a lot of the potential changes, but before we can actually come for adoption, we need to have the base language adopted, I guess, if that makes sense.
We're also working to let you know, we're working on updates with the building staff to Lane Code Chapter 11. There's some changes at the state level in building code that no longer regulate some smaller structures, and so they're amending Chapter 11 to still apply code at the local level to some of those smaller structures, and also take a look at adding a more formalized process for temporary campground review and permitting. We're beginning to scope also some amendments to Lane Code Chapter 5. That's in the very early stages.
That's our compliance enforcement, our administrative enforcement regulations.
Lindsay's working with the city on the airport master plan update, and that's going back to the board.
It's going to the board. We're waiting on quorum responses. We have quorum, so hopefully next month that will go to the board and the city council for joint adoption. That's about it. Coburg is looking at updating their transportation system plan. We had adopted that when we did the UGB expansion, but it was part of the remand because we adopted it at the same time. So it never was official. So they're going to remove some of the items that reflect the old version of the urban growth boundary expansion, like the north-south. There's a north-south connector that was adopted, so they're going to work on getting a revised TSP. But that'll be a while before it makes it to your body. They're going to go through the whole local process first at the city level, and then they'll bring it to the county. But hopefully by the end of the year, we'll see something on that. Also, Cresswell has another phase of comprehensive plan amendments that they're working on this spring, and hopefully we'll late summer, early fall, be able to bring you another round of amendments to their comp plan. So I think that's about it.
Okay, very good.
There's a few things we're working on.
I'm going to answer any questions.
Are we going to get involved with reviewing 5 and 11, Chapter 5 and 11?
So Chapter 11, we believe it really speaks more to the building code standards.
Right.
I wanted to share that as an informational item, but I don't believe there's any land use matters in that. We're verifying that with county council, but it's tentatively scheduled to go before the board at the end of the month.
I'm not sure about Chapter 5 yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just the very, very preliminary stages of that, so we're not sure.
So are there any further questions from the commissioners in reference to the fine report offered by the staff? No? Okay, good job.
Thank you.
So now we're ready to move on to the first work session, which is involved with the neighborhood plan update, city beginning.
I am actually.
All right, I got it. So when you're ready, move right in. Thank you.
Yeah, hi there. My name is Jared Bowder. I'm the new project lead representing the county for the River Road Santa Clara Neighborhood Plan. I've been involved for about a year and a half in an ever-evolving capacity. And with us today from the city of Eugene is Chelsea Hartman and Alyssa Hansen. And then representing Santa Clara's Kate Purley, and from the River Road neighborhoods, John Belcher. And with that, I'll go ahead and hand the presentation over to Chelsea.
Yeah, so we were just here with you all back in December, so not too long ago, and we were still talking about the action planning phase. So we want to provide a brief update on our progress so far and a bit more detail on the River Road Corridor Study. No actions required today, but we welcome your feedback on any of the things we're presenting. So, as you heard in December, this has been a collaborative effort since fall of 2017 between the city, county, and the River Road and Santa Clara community organizations. I am currently the project manager for this project. So the project structure has been the project management team, which is us at the table, as the core of the project. And it has always included representatives from the Community Advisory Committee. The Community Advisory Committee is a group of, I think, now 11 residents, nominated by the two community organizations and appointed by the Planning Commission. The working groups and the next circle are ad hoc, flexible groups that meet as needed to dive into the details. So they've been working a lot on the goals and policies and actions throughout the plan. And we reach out to the general public at each critical juncture. Here are the project phases. So we are still in the action planning phase and wrapping that up soon, and we'll be moving into the formal adoption phase moving forward. So we want to provide some more detail about those next steps tonight.
So a brief picture of how we got where we are today. So over the last 15 years, River Road and Santa Clara have been working, reaching out to our neighbors, finding out what's important to them, what do they value about their community, and what do they see as challenges and opportunities to guide how we might move into the future. And at the beginning of 2017, the city and the county stepped up to collaborate with us and create a new neighborhood plan, which is a refinement plan to the metro plan. And so we started in that upper left corner of the graphic. We did a reaching out phase. We created visions. The community members then created goals from the visions and then policies from those goals, and then a whole slew of actions to implement those policies. And that's where we are today. And so we've had four major events at North Eugene High School with over 1,200 attendees. We've had over 50 small group meetings. We have an interested party list of over 1,400 people in our two neighborhoods. We've done a number of outreach events. We have logged well over 2,000 volunteer hours by community members so far. And we have an online survey where people can weigh in on how we're doing to date. And we've had over 800 responses to that. And if you remember last November, our last big event was something called Pumpkin Pie and Planning. And we came to you shortly after that event, which was an opportunity for neighbors to weigh in on some of the high-level questions on each topic area. So the plan itself is divided into five topic areas. There's land use, transportation, community, parks and natural resources, and economic development. And so there are certain aspects in each of those where we're always trying to take the temperature of our neighborhoods. Our two neighborhoods are 32,000 residents, so it's a lot of people to try to reach out to and make sure we're on track to implement their vision in the plan. And that was the last opportunity to do that. I'll just mention that we do have an upcoming event on the 7th of April, which it sounds like if you have an extended hearing, then you won't be able to attend, but that'll be our next public event to reach out to our two neighborhoods and have hundreds of people gather to vet the action items. But there's the five topic areas I was talking about. The plan itself goes into a lot of detail, and these are just some of the highlights in each of those five topic areas. And then there are themes at the bottom, those two bars that go straight across. There are themes that run across all five topic areas. So safety is something that comes up in parks and natural resources and in transportation and in land use, and the same sort of work or the same sort of cross-threading theme would be things like resiliency and climate security and prosperity and neighborhood identity and preserving the character of our neighborhood. So those things weave together across the different five action areas. And in your packet, we wanted to highlight for you things that we need your collaboration on. Our neighborhood plan is going to be adopted both by the Board of Commissioners and the City Council, and there's a good part of our neighborhood area, a third of our landmass, that exists outside the UGB, and we're planning for our entire neighborhood area, all of our residents, not just folks inside the UGB. And so all of Chapter 10, which has a lot of language around preserving high-value farmland, which is a really strongly held ethic of the members of our community. So there are actions that enumerate ways that we could do that better, that we're asking for your help in looking at that. And another place where we're looking for help is the natural stormwater system. So the vast majority of the stormwater in Santa Clara and some in River Road is handled through open waterways. We don't have pipe systems in our neighborhood. And the city has adopted Goal 5 and WQ or Goal 6 protections, but because of our city-county jurisdiction, there are lots of parts of the waterways that don't have the same level of protection from the county. So we're looking to try to bring up the playing field so that we can implement programs, whether they be municipally focused or if they're voluntary programs from the neighborhood, so we can get partnerships with watershed councils and other groups that would help us do the work to revegetate and increase the function of the waterways through our neighborhood to both improve habitat corridors and provide us with a lot better flood protection. So that's just a couple things to flag for you.
Okay, my turn. I'm getting over the grunge, so if I start coughing, I apologize in advance. So, what's next in our action plan? The devil is in the details, of course, and that's what we're working through now. But primarily what we're trying to figure out is what will be part of the neighborhood plan, what will be part of other land use actions, primarily House Bill 2001, and then what will be to be done later. And that's a challenge that looks at both. What does it take to get it done? How much is it going to cost? How much time will it take? How feasible is it? Those are things we're still vetting through with the Technical Advisory Committee and RCAC. This is an unusual plan in that it all doesn't go into the plan document. We're looking at actions that will take years to implement. So the trick is to figure out how can we get there and how can we maintain community involvement as we do that. So that's basically the steps we're at now, is to try to parse those 150-some action items and figure out which ones do we do now, which gives us a degree of certainty, which ones have to go later, which is somewhat pragmatic in some cases. But let's shift to talking about the corridor study. As you may know, we did receive a grant from the Federal Transit Authority to look very specifically about how to do transit-oriented design, i.e. how do we join land use and transportation together and make them both work well. And working with a company called Sierra Design up in Portland, we started out with a couple of concepts that you see here. Basically, they have the same zones in them, the new corridor mixed-use zone in particular, that deals with some of the issues, such as the fact that we have commercial 2 property along the road, which would allow up to 10-story tall buildings, which is scary, to be honest. So we're working to create some zones that are more compatible with our own use and provide more uses that may not be available now. So the Sarah gave us 2 concepts, one of which was, let's concentrate that development along River Road and reduce the impact to adjacent neighbors. And the second concept was, let's expand out that development for a quarter mile using mixed-use type development outside of the corridor, that darker yellow that you see up to a quarter mile on the left and up to the river on the right. And then we vetted that with the public to see how they felt about it. And as a result, you can see the, not an overwhelming difference, but there was more support for a wider, less dense development, and that's what we went with. And Sarah took that information and developed it into a third concept, which is we're calling the preferred concept draft. And it's trying to do a little of both in that there are middle housing options within a quarter mile of River Road, as we said before, but the mixed-use corridors would be concentrated in nodes along the River Road. And the part that we're still working on is transition standards, because we know the problem is whenever you have two competing densities of development, there's friction. And we're trying to figure out ways that we can make that friction acceptable and through setbacks and all the other opportunities we have now. We still have not come to agreement on what that should exactly be, but we are looking at some concepts. So there's a bit of a summary down here I'll go through very quickly. R1 and ag parcels within the corridor area, not including along the greenway, so we're pulling back from the greenway a bit because we don't want to lose that nice transition we have between the West Bank Park and our generally single-family homes along the river. We look across the other side of the river and see those large developments that are occurring there. That's something we want to avoid. And then parcels fronting our major our cross streets, Irving, Hunsaker, Maxwell, perhaps Irvington, and Howard would, not Howard, but Maxwell would have RM plus. So again, only when annexed if they're county properties. But RM plus is looking at the larger size of mixed use properties such as threeplexes, fourplexes, and row houses would be along those streets that have more of an urban character, not inside the rest of the quarter mile radius. And all the C1 and C2, I mentioned the problem with C2 before, becomes corridor mixed use. And then there's another zone called corridor residential, again upon annexation if people want to take advantage of that, which is more of the R2 type development that we have now, but with better transition standards. So given that, what is the adoption package going to look like? It would be these items themselves. First of all, a neighborhood plan document, which you've seen before, I assume, in our neighborhood plans, with goals, policies, action items, implementation strategies, probably a plan diagram. And then it would also include the plan designations and those, the maps and the zone changes that we're talking about here, any land use code amendments that would be required to implement those, all the legal findings required to make them compatible with state law, the Metro Plan, and Envision Eugene, and then the ordinances that would actually adopt those. So that means we're going to have to go, or we're going to go to the Planning Commission, work with them to finalize what that package would look like, then take it through the process with the Planning Commissions, yours and ours, yours and the city's, and then go through the process of getting the County Commission, City Council to approve it. Simple task. So, what is your role?
Chelsea.
That's yours, Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. So, the Lane County Planning Commission role is listed here, and this is from the project charter. And it's pretty much what John really just covered. So, it's totally good. It was a good flow. So, really providing updates that we've been doing, and inviting you to participate in public outreach activities. Reviewing the draft documents, so as we start preparing the adoption package components, we'll be coming back to you for work sessions. Over the next several months, we'll be working on those components and working towards a community recommendation, and that's what will be brought forward to you all for deliberation before being passed on to both the council and the board. We're still doing outreach currently, so I think Kate mentioned that we're doing more outreach. Right now we're doing neighborhood conversations and really vetting the action plan highlights and the new River Road Corridor Study preferred concept with folks, and that's what the April 7th open house will be about as well. So just another opportunity for anyone that wasn't able to sign up for the conversations, because they actually filled up very quickly. I think within the first week they were all booked, and we added a few more. So continuing to share information with folks that they're aware of what the plan includes and how it could affect them and what zone changes would occur. One important thing to note about, so John had mentioned that zone changes will only occur upon annexation. So we just did some initial work to see how many parcels that would impact. And it looks like about a third of the tax lots in the corridor study rezone area shown here are in the city limits. So it won't really be a wholesale change all at once. It'll be a very incremental change as properties choose to annex. So those are kind of the big takeaways for today. And we welcome any feedback that you may have or questions about next steps.
Yes.
Question for somebody on Lane County staff. In my experience, anytime we have a project in the River Road area, we discover that folks who live in that area and are not in the city of Eugene are fiercely independent. And any hint even of the word annexation tends to raise their interest level significantly. So even if there's nothing in the plan that's put together that in any way reduces their independence, there's still, I think, going to be that feeling of concern. What are we doing to make sure that folks who are in the county not only have the opportunity, but that somebody is dragging them by the arm to come to these meetings to make sure that they are aware of and understand what is going on?
Well, we haven't been dragging anybody by the arm to the meetings, but we go at every single meeting. There's an announcement that this is an annexation neutral plan, so that's put out there at the forefront of almost every meeting that I've attended. And we've gone above and beyond, I would think, to try and do the public outreach to get as much turnout as we can to those public outreach meetings.
And for the community folks, I mean, are you getting county folks to come in? And is are
I'm a reason? County folk.
I'm a county folk.
And we purposefully set up our citizen advisory committee to be five from River Road and five from Santa Clara, regardless of incorporated or unincorporated, plus one person to represent who either lives or has their business outside of the UGB in our neighborhood boundary, so that we have somebody who's connected to the folks who aren't living in our UGB that are, you know, part of our working landscape, and that they have a voice. And that's also me, because I farm outside the UGB. And we have, when we mail to everybody, we don't just mail to city residents, we mail to every address in our neighborhood boundary. So every single unincorporated resident has received numerous mailings and invitations to attend these meetings. We spend our time in front of Fred Meyer, where all of our unincorporated and incorporated residents shop, and invite them to come to these things. You know, there's absolutely, I would say I come close to dragging people by the arm, because it's important to me that people are invested in the future and that they understand that this is a golden opportunity to help guide how our neighborhoods are going to grow and develop or not grow. You're like, we're here to represent everybody, and we want all the voices in the room. So, yes, people are concerned. People are always concerned. The A word triggers everything for people, and rightly so. But we have, right from the get-go, said this was a neighborhood-initiated project. We knew that regardless of whether we were incorporated or unincorporated, population density was going to rise, we were going to house more people, we're going to have more congestion, we're going to have competing interests for the land outside the UGB. We know that all that's going to happen just because we're people living in a metropolitan area. Let's plan for it and create something that better reflects our vision of the future instead of waiting for something to come to us that we have to react to or work against. And so I would say we have a lot of very invested members of the unincorporated community in the process. But like you said, you know, there's always people that any change is horrible. And without acknowledging that change is going to happen even if we do nothing. Like, there is no steady state. You know, and that's our message from the start is, it's going to change if we're ready. It's going to change if we're not. So let's get ready.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let me just add one small thing, and that is that was one of our first negotiating points with the city. We knew that if we included annexation in this discussion, that would be the entire discussion. So we made an agreement up front is that annexation would be mentioned where it's appropriate as a potential solution to some of the problems, but no more than that. And it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
So two questions, but first, Kate, I don't see you dragging people. I see you luring them in with pumpkin pie. So two questions. First has to do with the rezoning map.
Uh-huh.
And just so I understand, the yellow area, the residential middle zone, is that an attempt to manage infill rather than wholesale redevelopment? Because that quarter mile in many places is already developed.
Mm-hmm. 95%.
And I don't know what the lot sizes are or whatever, but it sounds like it's an attempt to increase density in a managed way, but I'm wondering how does this get people concerned about this going on?
Well, if I may, I'll answer the last part first. In our outreach to our neighbors through these Let's Talk Land Use, which are two-hour meetings where we meet with 10 to 20 folks and share these concepts. Generally, I would say 80 to 90% are very supportive of what we're trying to do. So the answer is it seems to be going over rather well at a rather 20,000-foot level as we explain it. House Bill 2001 got dropped on us in the middle of this, and we're not going to lead that process with the city other than in this corridor recommending this type of bill, i.e. duplexes and ADUs are already allowed. We're talking about potentially threeplexes, maybe not, but basically an incremental change along that corridor, but not allowing all those uses except along those major transit corridors.
You said ADAs or
ADUs, excuse me.
ADUs are already incorporated.
Yes. Well, ADUs are allowed out of right with House Bill or Senate Bill 1501, and the Lane County Commission has already said that within the urban growth boundary, ADUs are allowed as well without annexation. So ADUs are an outright use now.
Okay. Well, those have always created some difficulty.
Well, the city council is still dealing with that difficulty, trying to figure out what to do with the mandate that they have to allow off-site parking and not owner occupancy.
Now, we've seen kind of design elements about transitioning from higher. Is that part of the design scheme as well in the RM area?
Yes, not for ADUs necessarily, other than the standards that it would require.
Okay, so that's the first question. Second question, I think suddenly is a little bit more serious, and it probably goes to Chelsea and Jared, but I'm looking at a map that we got probably the last time, and focusing on the area that I think Kate is referring to, that agricultural area up there in the northwest corner, and when we got this urban reserve map, that segment of property is one of the urban reserve areas. Mm-hmm. And specifically, we were asked to kind of, from the county, take a look at, I don't know, are you calling them policies or objectives or something, 7.1.2, which has to do with Goal 5 and 6 Natural Protection. I think that's your waterway plan. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. But 10.1, that
speaks a whole lot to preserving farmland outside the urban growth boundary, as opposed to 10.2 that promotes urban agriculture. The concern I have with 10.1, Jared, is that if this gets ahead of the urban reserve and policies are adopted protecting class 1 and 2 farmland and agriculture out there, that could eliminate, I suppose, or kind of create some issues with studying in that area for urban reserve development, which our understanding is whether it becomes an urban reserve, regardless of whether there's class 1 or 2 soil, it's up for urban development. So I guess I'm pointing this out. I don't know if it's been identified as a coordination issue between the urban reserve planning effort and the River Road Santa Clara planning effort. Do you have an answer for that, or is it just something that needs to be put on the radar right now?
I don't, but I wager Lindsay does.
Yes. So, yes, we are coordinating staff. For the last bit, I was staff on both projects as a representative from the county. And city staff has also been coordinating as well, and so we're making sure that they're not totally out of sync as best as we can. And so nothing's set in stone with urban reserves. They're still doing analysis at this point.
It just seems to me if 10.1 is adopted in the River Road Santa Clara land, that effectively eliminates that area for urban reserve consideration because of the preservation of farmland emphasis that it has. Let me just raise that, and I will continue to bring that up as we go through this. Mm-hmm. So.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions?
Yeah.
None. All right. Beautiful. I think that's it for the commissioners. Any additional comments or questions?
Okay.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Bring pie.
Yeah.
One of those fancy hats, too.
That's okay.
Bring pie.
If only it were that easy, Randy.
That's just Larry. That's chocolate chip.
Next one might go a little long. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Take five, or do you want to keep
going?
Okay,
so we will put this meeting in recess for 5 minutes, and take care of business as we do. We'll be back in 15 minutes till 7.